Well, let's pray together. Lord God, as we think about your greatness and your goodness, how Jesus is better, help us to see clearly with minds and hearts open to you, that as you speak to us and call us to follow you, we might respond in worship and praise. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever heard a conversation, and whilst you are sure that the people who are talking are speaking English to each other, you really can't understand a word they're saying. This week, the vicarage has resounded with talk of seam movement, of deep extra cover, of line and length, of full short, good balls, which Kate has struggled to understand. It may be people of a particular profession, maybe medics or solicitors, or with a particular hobby, or the obsessive board game player, or the knitter, who has their own way of talking to one another. To many, the language that we use in our worship week by week probably sounds quite strange. There are layers of meaning and of history that can make it hard to understand. So I do encourage you, if something we say or sing doesn't make sense, then do ask. I'm not going to guarantee that I know the answer, but do ask. We have an opportunity to explore together the opening words of the book of Hebrews, and perhaps more than any other book in the New Testament, maybe with the exception of Revelation, these words can sound distant. Now, there's good reason for this. They were written to people steeped in the knowledge and history of God's people in the Old Testament, people who were from a Jewish background or had become followers of Judaism before becoming Christians. There are countless quotations from the Old Testament, verses from different books brought together as part of an argument for this writer of the book of Hebrews. And whilst this distance, this strangeness in the language might not be easy for us, it is good news to us. These coming weeks will focus on who Jesus is, that he is better, he is greater, he is more than what was before. So come with me to Hebrews chapter 1. That's on page 1201 of the Burgundy Church Bibles. Maybe they're maroon. Maybe they're burgundy. We might have a vote on what colour they are. Our passage this morning is rich, thick with description and meaning. And we're opening up our understanding of how God has been at work in the Old Testament and how in Jesus he's been at work too, in verses 1 to 3. And then we see how Jesus and the angels are compared and contrasted in verses 4 to 14 and receive a warning at that beginning of chapter 2, those first four verses. So Hebrews 1:1, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. No dear church in wherever, no indication of who wrote the letter, no greeting, no prayer. The writer, whoever he or she was in a hurry to impress upon their hearers that the thing that will bring them through suffering and worry and wandering is to fix their eyes on Jesus. Do you see what's happening in those opening verses? We're told, essentially, God has not been silent. There were many and various ways that he spoke through many different people, the ancestors and the prophets. But in these last days, now for us 2,000 years ago, he has spoken in his Son. He's not been silent. He has been speaking, and he has spoken in his Son. And who is this Son? Look down at verse 3. the radiance of God's glory, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He provides a purification for sins, and then he sits down at the right hand of God. I wonder if you share a family likeness, a particular nose or a chin, or maybe a laugh or a temperament. If you have brothers or sisters, do people think you are alike? People think I'm like my brother. I am really not convinced. Is it really obvious that you are related to who you're related to? Are you referred to as a chip off the old block? Well, even more than a shared likeness or a shared sense of character, we're told that Jesus is the image, the stamp, the imprint of God the Father. He is the radiance of God's glory. When we thought about glory a few series ago, we thought about God's name and his character. And in Jesus, we are treated to the same. Athanasius, writing in the 3rd century, said, "When did anyone see light without the brightness of its radiance?" We've been able to enjoy some sunny days, not today, but in the past couple of days. And when we see the sun in the sky, we also see its radiance. We feel its warmth. You cannot separate the two. The goodness, the grace of God is shown, is made visible in the face of Christ. And not just light, but also power. There is a powerful word in what Jesus speaks. God speaks through the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23:29. "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" This light and this word are not just abstract concepts for us to think about. Rather, they make a difference in the world and can make a difference in our lives too. Why trust another for light and direction? Why trust ourselves when Jesus is better? And so the writer moves to the second part of this passage and compares Jesus with the angels, who, in one writer's phrase, are of all creatures closest to God. They serve as his messengers. So we see in verses 4 and 5, he became superior to the angels as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I've become your father'? Or again, 'I will be his father and he will be my son'?" Here we have the first set of those Old Testament quotations, which are picked up and applied to Jesus. They had original meanings, but they also go further. For the writer to the Hebrews, if the Old Testament was a stick of rock, if you broke it open, it would have the word Jesus all the way through it. He finds the verses, he says, aha, this is about Jesus. This is where it finds its fulfillment, for he is greater and better, more powerful than anything before. Now, it might be that the people who received this letter first had got a little bit too interested in angels, perhaps even getting towards worshipping them. And as we move through the letter and see the other things that Jesus is better than, greater than, more than, we see that there are other things that you could be tempted to focus on, whether that be the law and your heritage, and here, angels. What might it be today that we get distracted by, even good things that could potentially move us away from actually following Jesus? It might be a focus on spirituality or our feelings or our sung worship or whatever it is. Things that can be good things and great things and can point us to Jesus, but also sometimes, if we pay them too much attention, can distract us too. Verses 4 and 5 highlight the unique relationship between Jesus and the Father. the words applied to the role of the king in the Old Testament first, to a certain degree, find their true value in the meaning and the person of Jesus. And to re-emphasize the point, the author goes on in verses 8 and 9. About the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." You know, this is not a temporary fix. This is not just to help the original hearers with their problems. Jesus has an everlasting kingdom. And did you notice what the kingdom is marked by? It's marked by justice and by righteousness. Good Old Testament kings got close sometimes. But Jesus is good, is better, is more. So whatever the first hearers were looking for in the face of the angels, maybe it was a more friendly face, they thought, than God. They are directed here to one who is greater than angels and archangels. The angels rejoice when God's grace is received. They sing God's praise, "Holy, holy, holy Lord." They minister in ways that we may not fully know until the joy of the new heaven and the new earth. But they don't desire praise and worship and interest for themselves. They point on. They point to Jesus. In our final section this morning, we might say, don't try and be an angel. Don't get to be distracted by being an angel or following them. Be a child of God. Chapter 2. We must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Essentially, take a step closer. Don't get distracted. Respond to the message of God's love, his ways. In the book of James, we read, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." The message of these four verses of chapter 2 may not be easy to hear. It requires laying down our own priorities and following after God's heart. There are things we think and say and do that are not in line with God's kingdom of justice and righteousness. These verses call us to follow God's ways. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? How great a salvation. The message is a received message from eyewitnesses and confirmed by signs and wonders. We don't get to make God in our own image. We don't get to make a God who surprisingly happens to always agree with us, who happens to think that every element of our own thinking is right. Whatever is trending on Twitter is right. Christianity is a revealed religion. So we go to the source to find direction and life. And the warning is stark in chapter 2 of Hebrews. There are two ways. You can either ignore God's message or you can respond to it. And if you respond, the writer to the Hebrew pleads with you not to drift away. Recent research suggests that even when all of the COVID restrictions are lifted, about 10% of those who were regular churchgoers who would have owned the name Christian before the pandemic are not planning on returning to the life, mission, and ministry of Christian faith. You might be in that 10%. You may know someone who has drifted. Can Hebrews encourage you this morning to lift your eyes to Jesus and know that nothing else is better? So what is the word to us from Hebrews chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 this morning. Well, has the last 12 months been hard for you emotionally or spiritually? Jesus is better. We may be frustrated with restrictions, with limits on our gathering together, but Jesus is not just greater compared with small. He is on a whole new level, and in him you will find rest for your soul. You will find food for the journey. Or perhaps you aren't sure where you stand in relationship with God, and you've heard something in these words which focus on the person and work of Jesus, and you want to find out more. If you'd like to know about the great salvation that Hebrews talks of, offered freely in Jesus, then do talk to us. Do get in touch. We'd love to explore with you the good news of God. And too, might these words encourage us to be bold in proclaiming this good news to our wider community. As people search for hope for the future, can we demonstrate in word and in deed that Jesus is better? Well, I'm going to pray for us, and after that, the band's going to play through the chorus of the song we began with today, reminding us of God's grace and his strength, allowing us to focus on Jesus again. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that these words from Hebrews speak of the greatness of Jesus. Help us to see clearly. And as we see, help us to be encouraged in our walk day by day. And maybe might we be those who this week encourage others too in their walk of faith, that together we might grow in faith and hope and love. Amen.
His love is like the mighty ocean. His love for me will never stop. Oh, his arms are strong. The grace.